We have been talking a lot about the Holy Spirit, and we are not done yet. We definitely need the Holy Spirit in our lives on a daily basis, because without him, we are led astray, because our mind is not the mind of God. Our mind is not the mind of Christ unless we have some help from the Holy Spirit. And that's why we honor God this morning. We honor God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So just as water can be liquid, it can be steam, it can be ice, but it's still all water, the same with God. He is three in one. He is the Father, he is the Son, and he is the Holy Spirit, and we honor him here this morning. Today's message is entitled, Filled to Fulfill. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit to fulfill God's plan for our lives. We must empty ourselves of self and say, Lord, I desire that you fill me with your Spirit so that I can do all the things that you require of me. We must understand that the Word of God says that inside of this flesh, there is no good thing. So we've got to get rid of self and make room for God. We've got to ask God to, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. The reason we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit is because he enables us to fulfill the purpose that God has for our life, just like he did with the Lord Jesus Christ. Any Jesus followers in here this morning? I'm in the right place then. So I'm here to talk about your Savior and the Spirit of God that he sent to help us. We're going to Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 11. And it says this, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but the water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish. Church, can you say shall accomplish? It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So anytime God speaks a word from his mouth that comes down to this earth, it always goes back to him completed. So that is why the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God, because you have to believe him at his word. I am a living witness that his word works. As I was in St. Rita's Hospital about 9 years ago with kidney failure, and they thought that I would die, the word of the Lord came to me and said, my grace is sufficient for you. And almost 9 or 10 years later, after I almost died, here I stand. Why? Because the word of the Lord must be fulfilled. He is not a man that he should lie. So anytime God speaks from his mouth, it always occurs. So the word of God in Isaiah says that as the rain and the snow fall and complete what I sent it to do, so shall my word be. We know that Jesus Christ was the word made flesh, and he came down from heaven as God's word. Did he fulfill everything that he was supposed to do? Yes, because his final words on the cross were, it is finished. So that means that the word of God was complete in Jesus Christ. So, to be made righteous is to be born again through faith in Jesus Christ. To live righteously is to be filled with and obedient to the Holy Spirit. Church, can you say this with me? Lord, save me. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Those who are led by his Spirit, as Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And to fulfill righteousness is to perform the whole will of God in your life. Well, here at this church, God has given me two words that we stand upon. It's life and rest. The L in life stands for love. So we need to know that God loves us. Even though we sin and were sinners, and our sin was going to send us to hell, every single one of us, God loved us so much that he gave us his only begotten son named Jesus Christ. And if we believe on him, we can be saved. God also requires us to love him back with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our strength. Then he gives us a new identity in Jesus Christ. We become sons of God. Before we were sons of God, we were sons of the God of this world. Because Jesus talked to those sinners that were among him when he was on this earth. And he says, you are just like your father, the devil. Just like your father, the devil, he was a liar from the beginning. So until we become born again, we must understand that we are under the control and power of Satan. And it's only God that breaks that power off of us and redeems us and makes us his sons and daughters so that we can perform his will. Let's go to John chapter 6, verses 38 through 40. And while you're turning there, I'll finish out life. The F stands for faith. God has given us all faith. We might not use it, but we've got it. He's deposited into us each faith. He's given us each a measure of faith. And finally, we have an eternal purpose in God. Now, many of us, we don't seek that purpose in God. We seek to live out the way we want to live, and we ask God to come along and bless it, but that's not what God is interested in. He didn't make you to operate without him. He made you so that you would bring glory and honor to his kingdom by fulfilling the purpose he sent you to do. I did not want to be a pastor. I did not want to be a police officer, but those were the only doors where blessings were. I could have went off and did my own thing, but it would not have honored God, and I would not have lived a blessed life. I had to do what God sent me on this earth to do so that I could be blessed in this life and the next one. And it's the same thing for each and every one of you. God has a purpose for your life. He made you for a reason, and that is the only door in which blessings will flow and come through. Let's go to John chapter 6, verses 38 through 40, and it says this, talking about Jesus coming down. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. So, church, listen to that. We are not here to do our own will. Maybe you need to tell yourself that. Say this with me. I am not here to do my own will. All right. That's what even Jesus said that. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. For this is my Father's will, that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. How many of you plan on going to heaven? Because the alternative is not so good. So God came to make a way for us to go to heaven and spend all eternity with him. Listen, I want you to stop focusing so much on whether or not there will be a second stimulus check. I want you to stop focusing so much on whether or not how long this virus will be out there. The devil is trying to take our minds off eternal life and try to wrap you up in the affairs of this world. But God desires that you keep your focus and your purpose alive, which is to tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ and to live a life by faith that pleases him. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. We're coming from the New Living Translation. Again, the title of this message is Filled to Fulfill. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit to fulfill God's plan and purpose for our life. We're in Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. It says this, Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? When I was in Israel last year, a lot of it is just desert and dry and hot. and there's not a lot of water. And so when I was able to go to the Jordan River and see the Jordan River in the place that Jesus was baptized is such a beautiful place, because without water, things cannot live. Now, we were made of the dust of this earth. But unless God had put his spirit on the inside of us, we could not live. So the same with the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have received salvation, but in order to live a righteous life, we need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, but Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires, all righteousness. So John was arguing with Jesus about whether he should baptize him or not, but Jesus said, please, we have to do this so that all righteousness can be fulfilled. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. So Jesus even needed to have the Holy Spirit to be empowered to do the great miracles that he was going to do. And do you know what Jesus said about us? He said that we're going to do even greater miracles than he did. And the only way that's going to occur is if we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us as well. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. And we see that immediately after the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, God opened the sky and declared to all those who were gathered there that this is my Son who brings me great joy. So the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, and then God announces that this is my Son. Galatians 4 and 6. And because we are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. So just like God sent the Holy Spirit upon Jesus, he does the same thing for us because we are his sons and daughters as well. And it says that when that happens to us, it prompts us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. So the Holy Spirit is a gift to us that lets us know that we have become the children of the Most High God. And if we forget about that, then we can be easily disturbed by the things that happen in this world around us. Church, I need you to say this with me. Say, I am a child of God. Can you stand up? Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. God opened the sky and declared that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And now we just read that through Jesus Christ, we have become the sons and daughters of the Most High God. And if God can open the sky and declare that we are his children, then I think we can open our mouths in this place and agree with him. Can you say this with me? I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give God praise for that fact. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. We are not children of God because we say so. We are children of God if we've been born again and he has given us of his Spirit. Let's go on to 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, and here's what it says. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Church, why did the Son of God come? To destroy the works of the devil. I'm going to ask you the same question again. Church, why did the Son of God come? To destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because of God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning. Why? Because they are children of God. You just stood up in this place and said, I am a child of God. And the evidence of that is that God lives inside of you. And the evidence of that is that you can't keep on sinning. Yes, we do sin, but we don't keep on sinning. Do we understand that there is a difference? Sometimes we stumble and we fall and we repent about it. But to live on the ground, to live on the ground is this. I am trapped in a sin and I am unrepentant about it. The word of God says that I am not a child of God if I keep on sinning. Let's continue in verse 10. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. So you hear a lot of people in this world saying, I'm a child of God. I'm a child. No, you don't get to just say it. There has to be some evidence. And the evidence is that you've been born again. The evidence is that Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit now live on the inside of you. And the evidence is that because they live inside of you, you don't keep on sinning. Now, let me give you an example. There are a lot of things that people do outside of this building that they wouldn't do inside of this building. There are movies on Netflix that if I allowed you to watch Netflix in the church, there are some movies you would not watch in here. There are some things that you would not say in here that you might say out there. Why? Because you say, well, this is God's house, and I'm not going to watch that kind of stuff, and I'm not going to listen to that, and I'm not going to say that in God's house. But the word of God says that he lives in us, not the building. And those in which he lives in, they do not continue on sinning. So if you have a problem that you continue sinning, you need to say, God, help me. I repent. I ask that you would fill me anew with your Holy Spirit so that I can be a child of God. Because listen, my neighbor's kids don't live with me. My kids live with me. And if we think that we cannot be the children of God and spend eternity with him, it will not be so. There is coming a great separation, and I believe it's already started. For the word of God says that in the last days that there would be a falling away, and people would fall away from the faith, and we see it happening every single day. The separation is already happening. So are you determined to be children of God or not? Are you determined to have the Holy Spirit living in you so that you might live righteously or not? To be made righteous is to be born again through faith in Jesus Christ. To live righteously is to be filled with and obedient to the Holy Spirit. To fulfill righteousness is to perform the whole will of God in your life. The Bible says that if any man says that there is no God, then he is a fool. Let's not live foolishly as if there is no God, especially after we've been born again and he lives on the inside of us. So we must be filled to fulfill the purpose and plan for which we were born again. First, we were born into sin, and all we were capable of was sinning. But since we've been born again, now we are to live righteously and to live out God's plan for our life. And I'm trying to tell you, less and less and less people are doing it. I'm trying to tell you, less and less people who call themselves Christians are really filled with the Holy Spirit of God and living righteously. I'm trying to tell you that the Word of God says that narrow is the way that leads to life, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. The word of God says that very few people will find eternal life. So I'm here to tell you today that we've got to do a reality check on our heritage, on our DNA, to say, am I really a child of God, or am I just somebody that goes to church sometimes? We have to be filled with the Spirit of God so that He might free us to live righteous lives. Church, I want you to say this with me. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. The reason we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit is because He is the one that leads us and guides us into all truth. He is the one that keeps us from sinning. He is the one that suppresses our appetite for sin and things that will destroy us. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because if there is any self left, your self rejects God. Your own mind will always reject God. Everything about you will reject God until you've been born again. The Bible says that we become a new creation in Jesus Christ once we've been born again. We must be filled with His Spirit to fulfill the plan which He sent us to do. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It says this: Then Jesus, partially full of the Holy Spirit. Is that what it says? Not at all. It says Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, church, if Jesus needed to be full of the Holy Spirit, do we? Yes. So that must be our prayer. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Because here's the truth. None of us can please God without help from the Holy Spirit. We all need the help of Holy Spirit. So, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Now, at the end of this temptation, we know that Jesus was able to reject the devil with the truth each time. Why? Because he was full of the Holy Spirit. You see, Adam and Eve, when they were tempted, they were not full of the Holy Spirit. So they had to argue from their own thinking and their own knowledge and their own understanding, and they were easily defeated by the enemy. But this says the second Adam, Jesus Christ, when he was tempted, he was full of the Holy Spirit. Church, I want to tell you something that will help you immensely in your battle against the devil. If you want to be victorious in all of Satan's schemes and devices to destroy your life, you must be full of the Holy Spirit. We cannot afford to be 63% full of the Holy Spirit when we meet the devil, because we have to be aware and we have to be sober and we have to be vigilant, because the Bible says that the devil, he is as a roaring lion walking around this earth seeking whom he may devour. And you don't want him to catch you on a day where you only have 12% of the Holy Spirit active in your life. So it should be your desire that every waking moment that you spend, you say, Lord, may I be filled with your Spirit and with your anointing and with your power. Now, after Jesus defeated the enemy, then we know that the angels came to minister to him. Let's go on now to Luke chapter 4, verse 14. That it says this: Then Jesus returned to Galilee, partially filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Does it say partially there? No, it does not. It says filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Church, God needs us in America in this hour not to be filled with religion, not to be filled with Republican or Democrat ideologies, not to be filled with ourselves, not to be filled with anger against our brothers, not to be filled with racial prejudice or hatred, not to be filled with anything but the power of God, because it is only the church that has the power to destroy the works of Satan. Listen to me. The world doesn't have a chance without the church. And if the church is not filled with the Holy Spirit, then we don't have a chance against the enemy. The government has no answer for this crisis that it's in. The government has no answer for the kingdom of darkness. But the church, we have the answer, because Jesus said, I am not going to leave you comfortless. I will come back to you. And he sent the same spirit that he operated in, he's given it to us. So let's see what Jesus was capable of when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 16. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. Now remember, church, I told you this from the beginning. We must be filled to fulfill God's purpose for our life. We see here at the beginning of Luke 4:14 that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit's power. So then he walks into the synagogue. He asks them for the scroll of Isaiah. And then he says this as he quotes the word of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogues looked at him intently. And then he told them that this day you have heard this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. So Jesus had to be first filled with the Holy Spirit so that he could then again go on to fulfill the word of God in his life. I believe that some of us are teetering on a miracle right now. I believe that some of us are teetering on a breakthrough. I believe that some of us are teetering on God's final purpose and plan being fulfilled in our lives, only teetering because we're not filled. Because when you're filled, the power of God will come upon us to make sure that that breakthrough that we've been believing for and praying for will happen. So the question that we must ask ourselves is, Lord, am I filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Jesus was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit as he went about the things that his Father required him to do. Let's continue. Luke 4:31. Then Jesus went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee. Now, this time it doesn't say that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But church, do you believe that he was? Me too. I 100% believe that he was. And the evidence is about to come. Verse 32, there too the people were amazed at his teaching, for he spoke with authority. Once when he was in a synagogue, a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit, cried out, shouting, go away. Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus reprimanded him. Be quiet. Come out of the man, he ordered. At that, the demon threw the man to the floor as the crowd watched. Then it came out of him without hurting him further. Amazed, the people exclaimed, what authority and power this man's words possess. Even evil spirits obey him, and they flee at his command. The news about Jesus spread through every village in the entire region. Church, I want you to know that the same spirit that lived inside of Jesus when he commanded that demon to come out of that man lives on the inside of us as well. So we must also walk in the authority that God has given us, but we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you why. If you come against a demon and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen is the part of you that is not filled in the with the Holy Spirit is the part of you that is weak, is the part of you that has no power. It's the part of you that's going to be afraid. It's the part of you that is going to tremble. It's the part of you that has no authority. It's the part of you that has no power. When you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, there remains in you a part of you that is weak. So we must be filled totally with God's power so that we might have the authority to command even evil spirits to leave. Verse 38, after leaving the synagogue that day, Angie, can you bring my notes that I typed up for you? Because my iPad's about to go kaput. My kids play games on them, and then they give it back to dad, and then the iPad dies when he's preaching. Thank you. All right. After leaving the synagogue that day, Jesus went to Simon's home, where he found Simon's mother-in-law very sick with a high fever. Let's start over. After leaving the synagogue that day, Jesus went to Simon's home. Church, does it say that he was filled with the Holy Spirit when he went? It doesn't say it, okay? But do you believe that he was? I fully believe that he was. And the evidence follows. Let's see what it says. Where he found Simon's mother-in-law very sick with a high fever. Please heal her, everyone begged. Standing at her bedside, he rebuked the fever and it left her. And she got up at once and prepared a meal for them. As the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. No matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed everyone. Many were possessed by demons, and the demons came out at his command shouting, "You are the Son of God." But because they knew he was the Messiah, he rebuked them and refused to let them speak. Church, America is waiting for a cure for a virus, which I believe to be very demonic, but they are not. The doctors and the scientists, for the most part, are not filled with the Holy Spirit. So a doctor can't command a sickness to leave. They practice medicine. They go into laboratories and they create these medicines, and they are hopeful that the medicines will fight the thing that is in them naturally. But if that thing has a demonic source, they have not been given the power. They're just practicing medicine. But listen to me. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are not just practicing, because it has already been tried and proven. The case study was Jesus Christ, and the spirit that he was full of could command a demon to leave, could command the sick to be healed. And he says that he's already given us that same spirit. So what is the great disconnect then, church? Where is our faith? Where is our faith? Because Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? You might have the Holy Spirit inside of you, access to all the power that he brings, but if you don't have faith, it's not going to work. Faith without works is dead. Let's continue. Verse 42. Early the next morning, Jesus went out to an isolated place. The crowd searched everywhere for him, and when they finally found him, they begged him not to leave them. But he replied, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, but because that is why I was sent." Let's start over again in verse 42. Early the next morning, Jesus went out to an isolated place. Does it say that he was full of the Holy Spirit? It does not say. Do you believe that he was full of the Holy Spirit? Yes. And the evidence is this. Remember, I told you this. We must first be filled so that we can then fulfill the reason that God sent us. And here is, so after these visits to these towns, we see that he casted out a demon. We see that he healed the sick. Now let's see this last thing that he does while he's in this area. And it says this: I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent. So he continued to travel around preaching in synagogues throughout Judea. All right, now let's go to Acts chapter 1 and 8. Jesus has left the scene, or is leaving the scene, and he tells his disciples something about the Holy Spirit. He says this: but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So one of the signs that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us is that we have power over demons, power to heal the sick, and we also have power to be witnesses, to testify of God's goodness. And church, listen, this is not an indictment against all of us, but if we're not doing any of those things, not a one of those things, then we need to ask ourselves, what's going on with me? What's going on with my walk if I'm supposed to be full of the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus was? I should have power over demons. I should be able to lay hands on the sick and they should recover. And I should be preaching the gospel everywhere. Church, God needs us to fulfill his purpose for us in this very hour, but we need to be filled before we can fulfill. Let's go on to Mark chapter 16. Jesus tells them in verse 15 to go into all the world and tell the good news to everyone. He tells them that miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. If they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Maybe I need to ask another question before I get too excited and too far along in this message. If you believe the Bible, can you raise your hand? You believe the Bible? All right. Still in the right place. All right. So since you believe the Bible and you believe in Jesus Christ, then you should believe that these words that you are hearing are true. And so the next time you come upon someone who is in a situation where they need the help of God, you must remember that God lives on the inside of you, and you must be obedient to do the things that he said that you could do. Acts 10:38 says this: and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Church, this is our function. Our function is not just to come to this building. Our function as agents of God and as children of God is to be doing the same thing Big Brother did when he was here. Jesus is Big Brother. And while he was here, the Bible says that he went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Church, can you say this with me? I can do good, heal all who are oppressed by the devil, for God is with me. I need you to believe that. I need you to believe that, because there's a world out there that is terrified of a virus. There's a world out there that is terrified of being broke, of our economy shattering, of jobs being lost. There's a world out there that needs some signs and miracles. You see, the signs and miracles aren't for in here. We already believe. The signs and miracles are for out there. So it is so important that we be filled with faith and filled with his spirit, that we might do all that he is calling us to do. Amen? Let's stand to our feet this morning. Our final verse is found in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. And the setting here is that Jesus was performing miracles in front of people. And the church people, the Pharisees, they said, the only reason, Jesus, that you can do this, that you can cast out demons and heal the sick and all these things that you're doing, the only reason that you can do these things is because your power comes from demons. And Jesus said, no, a kingdom that's divided against itself cannot stand. So church, we've been learning a lot about the Holy Spirit. And I believe starting next week, we might even learn more about his gifts and things of that nature. But just because you don't understand something about the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that it isn't real. Listen again. Just because you don't understand something about what the Holy Spirit does in a person doesn't mean that it isn't real. Listen to the warning from Jesus. So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven, except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come.